bought us so right. Are you feeling it? So loud, and it's so wide. Till we're all drunk, then it's so fast, then it's all over.
Go home, go sleep, wake up, get sober.
What a great night. And it's so loud, and it's so wide. Till we're all drunk, then it's so fast, then it's all over.
Yes,
a Christmas playlist.
Well, you don't have a Christmas playlist because you don't have kids, mate.
That's true.
You're one of those embittered, nasty,
that's right,
selfish motherfuckers that's sitting true. Around hey, in that, your penthouse pad, knocking
exactly
back
what my mother
margarita
says.
After margarita.
Well, I take
no,
my...
I'm not playing any damn music for Christmas. Bah.
I just have a whole bunch of Christmas songs that I'm never, ever going to listen to unless it's December.
No, I'm exactly the same. Actually, I had a playlist which I've been putting together over a couple of years at iTunes. I thought it was longer than it was, actually, but I was looking at it today. It's only 45 songs, but I went to Ardio, which is the subscription service I use, and just keyed in a search for other people's Christmas playlists. And that, of course, just spewed forth an absolute yuletide cornucopia. So I spent a couple of hours. I got about 300 songs, which I'm going to edit down to a usable 60 or 70 a bit later on.
So you're not saying that each one of them is a quality recording destined to be listened to 100 times?
Well, I mean, yeah, look, they're all fucking quality, but there's only about a dozen Christmas songs. There's only so many times you can listen to variations of Little Drummer Boy. It's a bit like, remember when Denton was doing that?
Money
like
or the a, Gun.
Was no, it no, Money no, or the no, Gun? Yeah.
Stairways.
At the end. Yeah, Stairways.
Stairways.
In fact, didn't they?
I still own Stairways.
I was going to say, I think they put that album out, didn't they?
Yes. It's an excellent album.
I always remember
album.
The pirate, the jaunty pirate version of it.
My favourite was the Doug Anthony All-Stars version with Barry Crocker.
What sort of version was that? Was it like a big lounge tune?
Well, it was sort of a Doug Anthony All-Stars version, so it was their kind of making fun of the whole thing, and suddenly Barry Crocker comes in, and they all start worshipping him like a god, as you do, because he's Barry Crocker.
Oh, yeah, of course you would. This is completely off topic.
No, I would listen to that for Christmas. Now think about it.
You two are the... It's a question I'm going to have. I've jumped off segued from the actual music thing we were talking about. You've brought up All-Stars because of Money with a Gun, which made me think. I was just wondering the other day, are either of you guys familiar with the oeuvre of a 90s FM rock jock god called Doug Mulray?
Oh, my uncle was actually best friends with Doug back in high school. He managed to seriously offend my mother at one point.
He would have. Mulray
in person
ruled the airwaves of Sydney, the breakfast airwaves of Sydney in the 1990s anyway. I remember when I moved down to Sydney, or drifted down to Sydney, and his was the voice that came out of my girlfriend's radio in the morning. And it was good. Like, it was a seriously funny radio show. I'd never heard anything like that coming from Brisbane. But it occurred to me the other day that it was probably all Denton's doing, because he was either a producer or I think Mulray used to call him the boy genius at that point. He was very, very young, had huge Coke bottle glasses, but he was a youngster. And I actually got to thinking, I haven't heard of Doug Mulray. He's probably on some mid-north coast community radio station now.
Enjoying a pseudo-retirement.
They get farmed out. It's really scary. It's like, you know how when you were young and your parents told you that your dog went to a farm? And it's sort of what happens to radio announcers, I've noticed. You always go, what did happen to that one? And then another radio announcer takes you aside and says, well, actually, they were sent to Longreach. And you're like, oh, my God, they were sent to Longreach. Like, no, they wanted to go. Like, did they? Did they really?
Jamie Dunn's been sent out to the farm.
Yeah.
I saw Jamie Dunn once. I was up in Noosa. I think that's where he hangs out now, isn't it?
Yes.
He was
hiding to the north.
I was reviewing a restaurant up there for Good Food Guy, but I had to stop. Jamie had eaten the restaurant by the time I got there. It's all gone. Flash fried spanner crab omelette. No, sorry, Jamie ate all of them. He's retired now. He's got a lot of time on his hands. He's got a lot of rage he needs to eat.
He's going to catch up. Well, if he doesn't eat it, who's going to eat all that food?
So you were listening to a streaming audio service in order to get these Xmas songs then?
Yeah, Ardio, which is my new favourite thing ever. Oh, actually, I've ended up listening to a heap more music than... you know, your music sort of dies, or your interest in music or new music dies at about the age of 25.
I have all the songs that I ever want to listen to now.
Yeah, that's
I don't need new music.
You're tired,
I have
old
the good
fast.
Music.
There'll never be anything like Bachman Turner Overdrive again, will there?
What I'm waiting for is, I'm actually waiting for people, younger people, when they get older, go, oh, there's just nothing like Wolf Mother anymore. That's when I know that the universe is, like, uberously eating its own tail at that point. I can just give up. I can just leave this plane of existence forever.
RDO. I love it. And not just because I can pull down 19 Andrew Denton-style variations of the little drummer boy to pad out this year's Christmas playlist. Because just, you know, I love it because it's effectively free. I've never actually stolen music, as far as I know. Even when I was pulling MP3s off the web from really obscure Russian music sharing sites, all of mp3.com. I was still
the three's
paying.
Back to front, and the M's got little dashes through it.
Yeah. But you had to pay. I don't think I provided them with credit card deets. I hope I didn't. Anyway, but you paid about...
You just post some mice over or something, or a couple of chickens.
No. This was a Top Shelf service. I think it was like 1.5 kopecks per song.
Goodness me. How many zlotys is that?
Well, you'd have to go to a Polish site, wouldn't you?
That's true.
To spend your zlotys. I have zlotys. I have a Polish publisher, so somewhere over there I've got some zlotys in an account.
Oh, that is it. So John Birmingham, super author, if you ever need to make a run for it, you have some zlotys ready, just in case if the euro collapses.
Some zlotys, and I have some lira, old school lira.
Because everyone knows lira, that's worth a lot at the moment.
Yeah, so when you sign book contracts with these overseas publishers, you often get the first sort of nibble, they'll send the payment over, and then that's it, you never hear from them again. I like to think of my zlotys and lira building up somewhere till they become an absolute force of nature, which when unleashed will just pour across the European financial landscape, solve all of their problems.
That'd be more useful. So one day you'll be able to go over there, if it's really cold, you can stuff the notes inside your jacket and keep yourself warm.
It's about all you could do with zlotys.
That's true. And it's a coin, which is a terrible thing. That'll stick to you like make your nipples really hard. It'd be terrible.
That was like my intro. That was my Napster. allofmp3.com. Ooh. And I was looking at iTunes today, and I've still got some Copec funded songs on there. But have you seen it?
I like the idea that by tying into this service, you've been paying the Red Mafia for decades. He's like, yes, if it wasn't for John Birmingham, our system would have collapsed years ago.
Have you been to the new iTunes yet?
Yes, I just bought a couple of songs in it a couple of minutes ago.
So you're actually still buying songs?
Yes, yeah.
See, I can't bring myself to do it now. One of the things I'm a sucker for, a total sucker, is cheap iTunes cards. On any given day, somebody somewhere is selling iTunes cards at a 20% discount.
It's like even buying free money.
It is. And I had this great plan once. I'd get like $700 or $800 worth of them, and then I would use them at the Apple store to buy myself a discounted iPhone, which is impossible to do because they never discount anything. And it turns out it's impossible to do anything because, of course, you can't use fucking iTunes cards in the Apple store.
They don't accept their own currency. There you go.
No. Only for digital media.
Well, the only country that I've been to that's similar to that is Cambodia. They don't like their own currency coming back to them either. So Apple and Cambodia have something in common. There you go.
So what do they use in Cambodia? They use iTunes cards.
Yeah, that's basically they only want American dollars and iTunes cards. That's it. That's all they want.
So Dan, you're still buying. You're buying music with iTunes.
Yeah, God, it's so easy to do. Look it up, and Bob's your uncle. There's the songs you want, and click, you get it.
But you know, you can do that with streaming too.
Yeah, but then I have to install another program, and not much money ends up in the pockets of the people making the songs.
This is true. At least when I was buying from allofmp3.com, I knew that somewhere along the line, Vladimir Putin was getting a feed out of it. Somebody was getting paid. Whereas with the streaming services, even though I'm on the sort of premium with RDO, here's a pro tip for the kiddies. If you subscribe directly through the RDO website, I think it's like $12 a month. But if you go in via iTunes and buy an RDO subscription, because it's like an app, it's $20 a month. Mm. There's your Apple tax right there.
Yes, that's right.
You know, as much as I do love my ascended master, he doesn't need that money anymore, so he's not getting it off me.
You haven't moved your allegiance offence to any other Apple deity yet?
Oh, yeah, I'm a fan of Tim Cook. You know, he does the job. But I don't feel the love the way that I did for our man Steve.
So it really was a cult of personality with him, wasn't it?
Oh, see, I was totally into it.
Yeah, that's you were on the ground floor. But why didn't he take you in his spaceship when he went back to his planet?
He will.
It was that Kindle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That Kindle you bought put you on the blacklist.
Kindle. I've got the new Kindle. I got the Paperwhite.
Also, possibly all of MP3 sitting in your cupboard.
Yeah, that's right. From all of MP3, I went to iTunes. Mm.
But you know what I really like to do in order to buy my music is to actually go to the site of the people who are making the music and pay them all of my money.
Yeah, I should do that.
Jonathan Colton does that. And so if I want to buy a Jonathan Colton song, I can go to his website and put money straight into his account. Bare Naked Ladies have done that in the past.
Yeah. I did it with a band called Buchan Gase. I actually bought a physical album that was on a CD, of all things, that they sent from New York. They were very excited. And I was very excited. That was nice.
Well, they should have been excited. I'll see if I can send you this link over, Greg. It's from the Information Is Beautiful website. It's an infographic on how much do artists earn online.
It's all T-shirts, isn't it? Well, they do a live show, you go and watch it, and then they hope you buy a
merch,
T-shirt.
Yeah, the merch. Gotta love the merch. Yeah. I can talk you through. Like, at the top of this thing, this just says, if a solo artist, to keep it simple, is going to earn the US monthly minimum wage of $1,160, how many self-pressed CDs at $9.99 would they have to sell each month? Answer, 143.
That seems doable.
That does seem doable. You can actually imagine some sad dude, on the street with his cardboard box falling apart from water damage, warbling, and people taking pity on him to such a degree that he could make minimum wage just from doing that.
Yeah, that's more, just over 30 a day.
That's
pretty full on.
A retail album, so I don't think there are any shops anymore that sell CDs, but if they still existed and...
Surely there's one just down next to the Blockbuster video store.
Yeah, I can't go to Blockbuster anymore. My kids rented an overnight, I think it was a game, actually.
Uh-oh.
They rented a game overnight 7 weeks later on.
Oh, wow.
Seven weeks. I snuck into the car park at about 2 in the morning and pushed this thing through the late ridge. I was wearing, like, those rubber gloves that radiation guys in nuclear plants wear.
Shining infrared lamp into the cameras so they couldn't pick up your face.
They get you when you go back.
No wonder they've gone out of business.
You have $3,000 worth of... Would you like to pay that now? No, fuck off. No, I wouldn't.
I'll sort you out next time I come by to rent a DVD.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, next time. So, working down the scale, MP3 downloads from CD Baby. They need to sell 2,044 of those in a month.
Oh, my goodness.
A retail album with a low-end royalty deal, still at $9.99. They need to sell 3,871.
That's madness.
You'd need a lot of cardboard boxes to carry those around.
Not really. Digital.
Oh, good point. A lot of digital cardboard boxes.
Aha, right, okay.
Selling individual tracks on Amazon or iTunes... they would need to sell 12,399 in a month. And this is where my guilt kicks in, because now you get to the streaming services. Streaming on Rhapsody, which has a fixed payment, our guy, you would have to enjoy a play per month rate of 849,817. On Last FM, which is like a free on-demand streaming service, he'd need... more than 1.5 million people a month to stream his album to get the same payment that he'd get from selling 143 sad, wet cardboard box. And on Spotify, which, you know, I don't do Spotify, Spotify, but it is like the king of streaming services. If our guy is going to make minimum wage on Spotify, he needs to be played 4 million times a month.
That's everyone in Queensland has to play him every month.
Every month.
Or just one person play him 40 million times a month.
Well, actually, I got myself a new broadband plan now. It's not all you can eat, but it's pretty close to it. It's like 200 terabytes a second or something.
Really?
Crikey. It's big. It's as much as I can possibly squeeze through my fat pipes. And one of the things I do
it's
with
the
it
Jamie
is
Dunn deal.
It's the JB Dunn SWAT flash fight spanner crab streaming deal. One of the things I do with it is actually just put RDO on, just play albums over and over again.
It's going to help them.
In the hope
That's
that
right.
somebody somewhere gets paid for them.
I like that idea. You just go, you could make friends. You could go, hey, JB wants to help you out. Who am I going to play this week? Just on endless rotation with the volume down low. And they could like send you some of their royalties.
Yeah. I think you're right, though. I should really just buy straight from the artist's website. Like, I've become a big fan of the Hilltop Hoods the last year or so. I don't even know how that happened. And I've been feeling pretty good about it because in my mind I've given them some money, but what I've realised, in fact, I haven't. I've got them synced to mobile on RDO. This is this thing where you don't just pull it down off the server when you're listening to it. You can put a copy on your phone or your iPad. And, you know, I don't reckon they're even getting a copec for that.
No.
That's crazy. Oh, so how do all these deals come about? And really, how are artists going to survive if they can't make a living from it? You can't just do the stuff for fun.
I don't know that artists... I don't know. I mean, have they ever really survived? It's always been a pretty ruinous fucking pyramid for them, hasn't it? Mm. It's like in books. I think the global book trade is dominated by about half a dozen authors.
Yes, yeah.
And then...
Ah, thank God that Courtney Bryce guy's dropped off the vine then,
that's
eh?
Right. Everyone move up, quick. You're like hermit crabs. The little hermit crabs move into the bigger shell. Everyone moves up the line. Ah, excellent.
I wonder if I can have his stuff now.
That's right.
Well, hopefully the same will go for podcasters. Now, we have a sponsor to thank.
We do. Brisbane Pool Boys. Do you know who they are?
I'm assuming billiard professionals?
No, they're the guys that clean my pool, because I got a pool, but I don't deserve one. I don't look after it very well. And on those occasions when I do have to look after it, it turns green. Green and thick. You know how thick water can get?
It's surprising how viscous a fluid can...
Yeah, a liquid we need to live can be so repulsive as well.
And, yeah, I can put so many... chemicals, like acid. I don't know whether you boys have got pools or not. You put acid in there, hydrochloric acid. Like some dude crosses me, I could put him into my pool with acid. No one would ever know.
So what service do these pool boys provide again?
they make it all good. They make my problems go away.
Well, so it's, not necessarily with acid. Time to do much more important things, like think about the apocalypse and what other movies are coming out. We don't want to worry about pools. That's not our job.
I used to use these other guys. You go into their shops, and I'd always walk out like $200 lighter, loaded down with all these chemicals I didn't understand, and I'd just be
and you
pouring
touch
them in at the side of the pool. So it never worked. They always, in the end, they'd always have to come out and like throw a hand grenade in there or something. That would make it work again. But Brisbane Pool
I have a
boys.
Very, very strong image of you just standing there with an Uzi, just going, just killing bacteria wherever you can see it.
Firing salt tablets into the water.
I wish they'd let me do that.
All right. Well, we thank them very much for their support. Now, I assume that we've all watched the new James Bond film, Skyfall.
Of course.
There are spoilers from this point on for the new James Bond film.
Yeah, that's why I had to get the blowjob in there for Brisbane Pool Boys, because if you haven't seen Skyfall, you should be fucking off right now.
That's right.
Yeah. Or just skip back a couple of minutes and listen to the ad a couple more times.
Yeah, actually, do that.
Definitely.
That's
so
good.
They get their ad revenue.
Don't do that. Install a pool and hire them.
Instantly. Don't even bother installing a pool. Just hire them anyway. I'm sure they'll come to your house.
Yeah.
I've seen movies like that. A young lady at home, a pool boy turns up, things happen, it's great.
He starts skimming her leaves off? No?
What?
You know, that's one of the terrible things about the internet. Those movies aren't going to get made in future.
But I think they will. I just think it's a very exciting time of amateur porn is going to be upon us very soon. As in, people are just doing backyard porn videos and just putting them online and hoping everyone gives them a dollar. It'd be awesome. Was that prostitution? Hang on, have I just said everyone should be prostitutes? Yes, I think I have. Oops, damn, that's not right.
So a prostitute socialism. So everyone has the same level of prostitution. And that's not really prostitution then, is it? That's just a big countrywide orgy.
I do like amateur porn, though. I actually like it better than the real stuff.
Watching or making, Mr. Birmingham?
I'm well past my porn making days, I'm afraid.
Oh, that's very sad. And you've got pool boys as well. This is, that's shocking. Isn't that terrible? We get older and we get a little more settled in our lives. We get jobs and careers. And we start making a headway and but you can't make porn anymore. It's just not allowed.
No. Well, you can make it, but you shouldn't.
It's a kink for someone somewhere.
Speaking of people too old to be sexy, the latest James Bond film.
No, I won't have a word said against Daniel Craig. He's looking suitably gnarly for Bond, I reckon.
Yeah. He did change a lot since Quantum of Solace, I must admit. I was actually slightly freaked out by it.
Well,
he did look a little bit old.
It's 4 years, isn't it?
Since
Quantum of Solace.
Since Casino Royale, yes.
That's right. Well, Casino Royale, he looked awesome, and he was awesome. And then poor old Quantum of Solace, they had that writer's strike ball on top of them. He actually, apparently him and whoever it was that directed that piece of shit actually wrote quite a few of the scenes for it, because the writers just said, you're on your own. Fuck off.
Jiminy.
What's really weird is that was a pretty forgetful movie. I'm going to come out and say, I don't think it was a bad Bond. It was just I forget it pretty quickly.
It was B-grade Bond, and there's plenty of B-grade Bond around.
I was about to say, there's been
the
plenty
Roger
of
Moore years.
Yeah, the later Roger Moore years. That's just all B grade. In fact, I can't think of any Moores that I really enjoyed. It was all shit.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think that before Casino Royale happened, Bond was a kitsch thing for me. It was very, you watched it because it was silly and, you know, basically it was silly and fun. And I thought, oh, that's nice. And it was only when Casino Royale turned up that I went, oh no, this is what I wanted in Bond. This is the Bond movie I didn't even know I wanted until I saw it.
What you wanted was Matt Damon. I have this theory that Matt Damon saved the Bond franchise.
With the Bourne identity?
That's right. With the whole Bourne franchise. Which is still going
just by not being cast as Bond himself.
Well, you couldn't cast him as Bond. He's too small. He's got that piggy little nose. He's American.
So
you thought Craig
Skyfall.
Was old. Well, they made something of it, though, didn't they? You know, they had that great scene with Judi Dench doing the poem, the Tennyson poem.
Yes.
You know, Bond.
Yes. Did you think, my take on that, because Bond had failed all his tests, he was a physical and emotional wreck, he wasn't a good agent. You could say that she was soft for him, but I saw it more that she went, no, he has willpower. And that's what that poem was all about.
That's
he
right.
has willpower.
To strive, to seek, to something or other, and not to yield. It's
yes.
Great poem.
For me, it was also a rah-rah, go Britain. You know, Britain's a wreck, it's all over, broken down, can't fight back, but it's got this willpower that we all have to respect and love, which is not necessarily a bad thing. I just thought James Bond was Britain as he ran down the road. Mm. Notice how Daniel Craig runs very oddly. He runs vaguely robotically. It's a very odd run.
Got a bit of the T-1000s about him.
He does. His hands go up and he sort of pumps them up and down in a very weird manner. But anyway.
Well, he's getting on a bit, isn't he? He's probably his shins hurt.
That's right. Oh, me gams! Oh. Now, the best joke for Skyfall, I can't claim this one. This one comes from Girl Clumsy. She said that Skyfall was a gritty reboot of Home Alone, which I thought... I really like that description of Skyfall.
There was a little bit of the Macaulay Culkins about some of those exploding light bulb tricks, wasn't there?
That's right. I read a few articles. I read a saying how misogynist that movie was before I went to see the movie. And I went and watched it with that lens in it, looking for it. And I went, yes, there are other things I complained about, but not M. I don't think M was ever weak. When I saw M take a shotgun shell and turn it into an improvised grenade, and I laughed in the theater out loud. I realized I must sound like a psychotic, because I knew exactly what she was doing. And then she blows up dudes. I mean, she killed two guys using her brains. I mean, that's not weak. That is not a weak woman.
I didn't have issues with the Moneypenny character, or the agent who turns out to be Moneypenny at the end of the film. I had some scripting issues with the way they introduced her as Moneypenny at the end. I thought it was ridiculous that they hadn't been formally introduced.
That's right.
That's just fucking, you know, if you want to show that this is Moneypenny, then you just have Ralph Fiennes go, is that Bond out there? Money Penny.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. Yes, in. Send him in. You'd even, like, you know, you could use a piece of dialogue from one of the 60s films. A little shout out. I thought that was incredibly ham-fisted scripting in what was otherwise a really, really good film.
Well, the dialogue that went, so what was your name again?
Yes.
My name is Moneypenny.
Hello.
Remember? Yeah. Like from the old films?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Like the old films. Oh, what a wonderful call out. There was filled with nostalgia.
Another article I was reading complaining about her and saying how Bond was really nasty to her. And then what I was watching that and she just took it and I went, no, that was two agents giving each other crap, and thank goodness we didn't need that mirror. And then she smashed it and go, we didn't need that one either. And you go, this is tit for tat. This is both of them giving each other crap. And I went, okay, he's the hero of the movie, therefore he gets to win. But I went, she wasn't useless once again. I mean, a bad thing went bad, but other than that, you know, I don't know. I just found it. Yeah, I think it was
I thought I'd have to go back and look at it again, and I will. I'll probably end up it'll be one of my iTunes purchases, which is what I use iTunes for now, is buying apps and movies and TV shows. I thought he was actually quite respectful of her. She doesn't have mad agenting skills, but he understands just how brutal and unpleasant it is being out in the field. And they have that conversation in the new secret headquarters where he asks her, you know, are you going to go back to the field? And there is, you know, Daniel Craig's a pretty good actor. I don't know that any of the other Bonds could have pulled it off. You get this real sense that he is concerned for her, not because she's going to go out into the field and get killed. That's almost a given. But that she'll go out into the field and be changed.
Yes.
And not necessarily in a good way. And I didn't see that as misogynist at all. I thought that was him actually just having a care for another human being.
Yeah, he's a James Bond who does care from the other movies. He also mentored her, I thought, in Macau, I think, and he walks into the room and they're talking on radio, and then he says, take your finger away from your ear, just very quietly, which is a callback from Casino Royale when it all goes wrong for the same
That's
thing.
That's right. He's just
mentoring her, going, this is a common mistake. That's a rookie mistake you're making. But he doesn't say that. He just throws the line out and she puts her hand down. It's that whole, he's the experienced agent now, where in Casino Royale he was new. Now he's been doing it for X number of years. I found it interesting, though, the caring thing. This is the only part I have a problem with this movie. The poor girl, I didn't actually like her as an actor. She just kind of weirdly grimaced. But the one who turned out to be like was a prostitute like 12 years, and now she and so she and M. Bond end up together, and that's all, obviously it's a Bond thing, and I accept that, but her death I found quite troubling, as in it didn't mean anything, it didn't hurt Bond, he didn't even seem to react to it. When she gets shot in the head, it was so fast. When Silver shot her in the head, I didn't realize she was dead. I thought she was hiding. I don't know why. I thought she ducked down, and then later on I went, holy crap, she's dead. But no one seems to be saying, oh, she's dead? Maybe I missed it, but I just thought that made me feel a bit weird.
Oh, well, I like that for the main reason, because it's such a callous thing. It made the bad guy very villainous that he had no reaction, and then you had this big reaction going, oh my God, she's dead, but then Bond doesn't. He's like, well, there was nothing I could do at this point, and just
But he could have. Deals with it. 6 seconds later, he goes ninja on everyone and murders everyone in the whole courtyard. He could have probably started a couple of seconds earlier and saved her life. Like, he didn't do... I had a big problem with that. It's not as if the situation changed so remarkably that he could turn the tables. He just decided to get his ass into gear. So, oh, woman's dead, better get my ass into gear.
It's hard to know what he was thinking, but, I mean, he knew he couldn't make the shot. That was a given. He simply wasn't up to making that shot. And so he deliberately shot wide, and probably, I got the impression, even then, he ended up, you know, shooting a little bit too close to her for his own comfort. What he probably expected Silver to do was to make the shot, because it's an ego thing. You know, Silver has this thing that he's the better agent, he's the better man, and he was obviously going to be the better shot. And so, it would have cost Silver nothing to shoot the glass off her head. And then, then he could have dangled her over a pit of alligators or something. I think it surprised Bond that he did that.
Maybe Daniel Craig has seen too many of the old ones where he'd have plenty of time to save the girl.
That's right.
This never happens to the other fellow.
It might be an editing issue at that point. What they probably should have said, or probably should have done, is have Bond show more of a reaction to that. Yes. Even if it's just mild surprise, oh, you killed her. I wasn't expecting that.
Like, yeah, he just seemed totally, exactly right. Maybe I missed it, but he just seemed totally nothing. There was nothing going on.
It does explain why he then goes ninja a couple of seconds later on, because he's like, oh, fuck. Yeah, this is pretty fucking serious. He shot that girl.
Yeah.
What was he thinking? And so, you know, he then sort of whips out his mojo.
What did you think of Q?
I quite like Q. I was really worried about Q. The funny thing is, looking at that Q, I can very much see him growing into old curmudgeonly Q 40 or 50 years down the track.
Yes. I have a theory that this might be connected to nothing, but I think this might be Daniel Craig's last Bond film. It just felt like the last one.
He's got two more.
They reset.
He's signed up. No, they've signed him up for two more.
Oh, they're totally wrong. Okay. That's interesting.
In one sense, you are right. They will need to get working on those films quickly, because you know, he's a millionaire movie star. He's eaten egg white omelets and taken a lot of supplements, and you know, he's got half a dozen trainers working on him every day to make sure that his awesome sauce is extra tangy. But he's like 48 years old or something, and at some point you're going to get into that terrible sort of aged caricature Bond that you see with
Roger Moore.
Yeah. Like, Connery, I'm a huge Connery fan, as everybody is, but when he did Never Say Never, they didn't shy away from the fact that, you know, he was an old fat man. Whereas with Moore, like that last one with Scary Woman.
Grace Jones, Due to a Kill.
There were some cringe-making scenes.
Oh, yes. Have you seen that love-making scene is shocking?
Oh,
that's
scary
as hell. Not for the reason they want it to be, I think.
Well, it's not that bad if you've seen enough amateur porn.
That's right, they should have just taken that out. Should have just, you know, maybe, you know, if they had some way of accessing a bit of amateur porn, you know, some businessman on the road through Tulsa or something like that has set up a little camera on his bed as he bangs some waitress from the diner, they could have put that in. Would have been better.
The internet remix.
It's one of my favourite bits of amateur porn.
John Birmingham takes all your favourite films and in every lovemaking scene puts in amateur porn.
Dear.
Just to finish off with Bond, traditionally with Bond, there's a big fight at the end. You know, as the series evolved, it got sillier and sillier.
Generally on the nose of a blimp or hanging off a poster, off a building.
But, you know, with a couple of companies of Marines or, like, scuba commandos or something called
Jumping into the caldera of an active volcano to fight evil. That's sort of fun stuff.
But ninja women with crazy murder thighs.
Murder thighs. Amateur porn again. Excellent.
I'm just going to Google up murder thigh porn.
.com.
I thought the big fight scene at the end, I thought it was a really good example of how to go over the top while being a little restrained.
I liked it because Bond used his brains. Once again, it wasn't Bond being faster and stronger than everyone else. He used his terrain to his advantage, and I really liked that. And I really liked the fact when he realised they were blowing up the house, that he was going to blow it up more. I can destroy my house much better than you can.
I think the highlight for me was Albert Finney cutting that bloke in two with a shotgun. Welcome to Scotland.
His accent was pretty bad, though, must have been.
The thing that really upset me, though, is that Bond and the bad guy drop through the ice and are underwater, and then Bond chokes the guy underwater. But when you choke someone, you're cutting off air to them. No, you're not.
You're breaking the blood to their brain. You can put someone into a sleeper hold and put them underneath much faster than choking them to death.
Yeah, that's right.
So you could actually knock someone out underwater.
Yes.
You can
A wrestling sleeper hold can take less than 30 seconds to put you under, and that's not air-related at all.
It's about 10 or 12, actually. You close in on the jugular at each side, and as soon as that blood stops flowing to the brain, it's good night, Irene.
I have a friend of mine by the name of The Fiend, and he's into wrestling. The thing we all say, you know, wrestling is fake, everything is fake. And I still believe, and I said, oh, sleeper holds are rubbish. And he put me into a sleeper hold. Oh, my God, I could feel myself, like, going black really fast.
Yeah.
And it's scary as hell. Like, there's nothing quite like that feeling of being switched off. It's awful, actually. He's a good friend. Hi, Fiend.
We look forward to you getting out of prison soon.
It was all consensual.
Okay. Well... Are we good? We done?
I think we're done.
I think we're done. Okay.
Slope off down the pub?
I think it's your shout.
No, I got the last shout. It's Greg's shout.
No way.
Well, why don't we just figure out who is the person with all of the expensive hovercraft?
That's true.
I gave all my money to Pooh.
It's your round. You're hanging at the back of the bar. So just bounce. Like you're banging in the back of your car. We turn it.
You have been listening to Spartacast. John Birmingham's new ebook, Stalin's Hammer, can be found in ebook format at momentumbooks.com.au. Gregoire and Dan Beeston can be heard talking about science, comedy and ignorance at smartenough.org. This has been a Smart Enough Bunny production. Lindsay Lohan speaking.
I dread lyrics like spits, spit lyrics like drips. In the arms of liquor spirit with my miracle web. Cause what I'm hearing's all shit on the lyrical tip. Nah, I ain't feeling you, kid. We gave ya something to jar, but it wasn't no thing. Like Bobby gave me a rock, but it wasn't no ring. And I'ma keep at him. Crossing my fingers at Eve says keep at him. I'm going down on Louise and I'ma wreak havoc. Little man with a big pen. I've got dirty habits like a nun in the pig pen. Like drinking.